Wow. Good afternoon. Welcome, everybody. It's my honor today, Tom Benton, to call the Grand Junction Regional Airport Authority January 16th, 2024, our first meeting of the year to order. Thank you, everybody, for your attendance. Let's start our meeting off with a Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we do have some excused absences by some of the board members who have called in. Commissioner West had a business engagement pop up, so he's in Glenwood Springs, will not be able to join us. Commissioner Schrader also reached out. They had a business situation arise. I didn't hear from Cody, but I'm sure, is he planning on joining us or not?
No, he has a business.
Well, that's right. A couple of weeks ago, he let us know about that. He was very proactive. So I appreciate everybody else's attendance here. Commissioner Marshall, Velarde, right, thank you for being here. So that will be recognized in the minutes that we do have four commissioners here present, and I don't anticipate anybody else calling in. Cameron, would you share with us, for the purpose of the meeting, the staff who are in attendance today?
Yes, in the room we have Executive Director Angela Padalecki, Finance Manager and Human Resource Manager Jennifer Croker, Director of Facilities Ben Peck, Director of Operations Dylan Heberline, Christina Warren, Office Coordinator, and myself, Cameron Reese, Board Clerk.
Thank you, Cameron. Appreciate that. Do we miss anybody? We'd like to call out those who are joining us online. Our Airport Counsel, Dan Raymer, thank you for joining us. Colin Bible, who represents Garber, glad you're here in attendance as well. Brad Rolfe, we see you online. Jeremy Lee, see you as well. And also as a guest today in our audience is Judd Hill. There he is over there.
Hi.
Judd was the Executive Director for the Moab Airport for a number of years and now is with Lochner Armstrong?
And Armstrong.
Oh, great. Very good. Nice to have you with us today. As I shared with him, the original founder of that firm was Ed Armstrong, and that goes back a few years, but a good friend of mine, and they did good service to the airports that they participate with. So thank you for your attendance. Do we have any... let's jump into the approval of the agenda today. Has everybody had a chance to read the agenda? Are there any changes from staff for our agenda today?
No.
Nope. Okay. Commissioners, wish to pull anything from the consent agenda? Okay. Need a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
I move to approve the agenda as presented.
Thank you. I will second that.
Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Commissioner comments. Everybody have a good holiday?
Great. Great.
Your travels were uneventful from a challenging perspective, but eventful from a good perspective.
That's right.
All right.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Thank you, staff, for all you did over the holidays. The airport looked quite festive, and we're hopeful for another good new year. So thank you for your service. All right, citizen comments today. Do we have any?
Mr. Chairman, we do not have any citizen comments.
Okay, very good. Consent agenda does have the December 12th minutes for approval. I'd entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Thank you, Ron. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Very good. Do have a couple of things today on the action item. We have a resolution designating the location of the posting notice of meetings. Would like to talk just a little bit about that. Randall's mentioned Tuesdays are a bit of a challenge. I know we've had discussions with this in the years past on what days of the week work well for both staff and commissioners. And oftentimes we do have conflicts. I think that's a department meeting for you, right?
Yeah, it's the only 2 hours of the week when I really should never miss.
You need a promotion. So you can be the boss.
Set the schedule.
So, and I know, Linda, you over the years have a very busy schedule as well.
Yeah, this works great for me, though. Honestly, this is ideal. You get my best brain during the day as opposed to in the evening, so I'm grateful for that change.
Ron, I know we've got you for 3 more months.
No problem with mine.
Yeah. Mondays and Fridays are your best days, aren't they?
Yeah, for lunchtime.
Okay. And staff, Tuesdays work fairly well. Mondays or Fridays, you guys are kind of gone from time to time, seems like.
Yeah, I mean, just the, yeah, I've not thought about a Friday meeting.
Okay.
I have just noticed with communications, Fridays and Mondays are hard because of the holidays that often fall on Mondays, and then Fridays with travel schedule.
Right.
Yeah, I don't like to send anything that I want opened. Yeah.
Mondays are hard from a staff prep perspective. It means people are making on the weekends. That's why the county moved away from their Monday meetings.
Yeah.
Thursdays would work.
Thursday's okay for you?
Okay.
How does that sit with staff?
I think from a staff perspective, Thursdays are fine.
Okay.
Well, let's...
We should probably ping Thaddeus and Chris to, you know, have their input as well before we make a stated change, I think.
Like I said in my email, I've got approval to do this through the end of April. No need to do it. Push it first.
Okay. We do need to post meeting dates for February and March for sure, right? Before we make any other changes.
So typically, so what we do in practice and then what's required, let me just briefly summarize that, if that's okay. So in practice, we post and you typically approve the planned calendar for the year. When it comes to what's required, we just have to provide 24-hour notice. And so, just like we've done in years past, we sometimes move meetings around, things like that, deviate from that plan. That's no problem from a regulatory perspective, provided we've followed all those open meeting laws and posted. Today, what must happen is, must take action on the posting of meeting, like where we're going to post, and kind of the methods that we'll post meetings. We have flexibility on when we meet.
And this allows us just to update, come into the 21st century when we're posting our meetings, so we can now post them online also.
Right, and yeah. So that was thanks to that change to the state statute last year. And then this is what's proposed today is consistent with what you approved over the summer back in August when those new laws took effect to post, always post on our website and then also post out. This one's not required, but we still call out that we'll post in the
So the resolution board. Will deal with location and of the meetings being the third floor of the airport terminal building, and they'll be posted on our website.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then we can ping or visit with Chris West and Danny Schrader for their timing as well. See if we can make Thursdays work. Okay. All right, so that's the extent of the action item number 7. I'd entertain a motion for the approval of the resolution 2024-01, first one of the year.
And Mr. Chairman, sorry for the interruption. Thaddeus is on as well now.
Oh, great. Welcome, Thaddeus. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
Great. I don't know if you caught much of that, but we're thinking... Tuesdays are a little complicated for Randall, and so we were thinking, would Thursdays work for board members?
They would indeed.
Okay, all right. So the only other one we need to catch up with would be Chris West. All right, very good. Thank you. Okay, entertain a motion for resolution 2024.
I don't have my glasses, but I'm happy to do it. I'm going to make a motion to approve resolution number 2024-01, designating the location of the posting notice of our meetings.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Been moved and seconded. Further discussion regarding the designation for location and notices? Hearing none. I'll do a roll call vote since Thaddeus is on the phone. Commissioner Schrader.
Aye.
Very good. Commissioner Velarde?
Aye.
Commissioner Marshall?
Yes.
Commissioner Reitz?
Yes.
And Chair votes in approval as well. Motion carries. Since it was a resolution, we did have to have voice vote.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Next item on our action is for the 2024 officer and committee appointments. Here's our current selection of our officers. Everybody is eligible. Everybody is certainly qualified to run for these positions. A couple of us have one more year left. Commissioner Schrader and myself are 2025 expirees. So those are the current standings, and we'll start with nominations for the chair.
Would you mind if I just quickly asked a question?
Sure.
Can you remind me about treasurer in the past, what we've done? Has that been staff?
Yes. Yes. So typically it's the finance director. That position is vacant currently,
okay.
And so my recommendation is that it that the finance manager be appointed.
Okay. Are you okay with that?
Well, that's 2 months in a row you've been okay with that.
That's
great.
I just want to make
Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Can I make a motion to appoint Tom Benton in his final year of service as the chairman to the airport board?
Thank you. Is there a second for that?
Second.
Second.
Are there additional nominations? If not, we need a motion to close nominations for chair.
I move to close nominations for chair.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion to nominate Tom Benton for chair, as well as close the motions, have been made. All those in favor to close the nominations signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thaddeus?
Aye.
Thank you, Thaddeus. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Then we need to have a motion to elect, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so we need a motion to elect Tom Benton as chair.
Make the motion to elect Tom Benton as chair.
Okay. Is there a second?
Yep, I'll second.
Thank you.
Aye.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you. Motion carries. Appreciate the voter confidence.
Yes, thank you for being willing to serve.
Now, motions for vice chair.
Are you open to being nominated?
I'm happy to serve.
Lindy does a marvelous
job. Oh, so long as Tom chose to be.
I move that we approve Lindy Marshall as our vice chair.
Thank you.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to ask Lindy Marshall to serve, continue serving as vice chair. Are there additional nominations? Hearing none, I need a motion to close the nominations for vice chair.
I make a motion to close the nomination for vice chair.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Thaddeus. All those in favor to close the nominations for vice chair, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Need a motion to elect Lindy Marshall as vice chair for 2024.
Make the motion to elect Lindy Marshall for vice chair.
Thank you, Ron. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Randall. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Very good. Congratulations, Lindy.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service to the board.
For your trust. You know, I'm going to try to expedite things in the way that I do, and Dan loves so much. Dan, could we nominate the next two positions at the same time?
Just thinking about that, Lindy, in anticipation of your request, and I think it's fine. By the bylaws, both of these officers can be staff members, and so I think it's fine to nominate and vote on them as a block.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let me guess where I'm headed with this.
Yeah, all right. So I'll entertain a motion for treasurer and clerk if the board so chooses to do so. You can nominate a treasurer and a clerk.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to nominate Jennifer Croker as our treasurer, and I would like to nominate Cameron Reese as our clerk.
There's been a motion to nominate Jennifer Croker for treasurer and Cameron Reese. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Further discussion? Hearing none, entertain a motion to close nominations for treasurer and clerk.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Very good. All those in favor of closing nominations for treasurer and clerk, signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you. Opposed, same sign. Motion to elect Jennifer Croker for treasurer and Cameron Reese as clerk.
I move to elect Jennifer Croker as treasurer and Cameron Reese as clerk.
Second.
Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right.
Congratulations. Thanks, you guys, for serving.
Thank you.
I know that's a little extra work, and certainly appreciate your attention to detail in these capacities to both of you. Okay, I think we have a committee appointment to be made. Currently, our finance and audit consists of Chris West, Ron Velarde, Drew Armstrong, and Clay Tuffley. We've reached out to those members. Chris has agreed to continue as chair. Ron, in your capacity, fulfilling the term.
I don't know, do you want to select somebody? I'm only going to be here for a couple of months, but it's up to you.
Yeah, I think that's fine. When your term expires, we'll fill that.
It's no problem.
We have been notified that Drew Armstrong will finish up in June or July? June? July?
6 months.
Okay.
Still right. 6 months.
Right. And Clay's agreed to continue. Would anybody else on this commission wish to fulfill one of those positions during this year once those appointments conclude? We do have a few community members who have expressed an interest that have financial background to serve on that finance and audit committee position for Drew. So very competent individuals as well.
And we typically like to keep a couple of our board members, it looks like, and then a couple community members on that committee.
Right.
Okay. The bylaws require that the chair be a member of the board, and that there's two members of the board on there.
Gotcha.
Okay, and the chairman is one of those. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Thank you.
And this is a responsibility for the chair to appoint those folks. So we will continue with the appointments as they exist today. And then as those positions vacate, please bring to our attention the executive committee those who might be interested. So.
That's wonderful.
And we also have a governance committee, right?
Mm-hmm.
That meets as we can from time to time when issues come around.
As we really haven't had to. I mean, the big heavy next lift is airport rules and regulations.
Yeah.
And candidly, just from a staff perspective, as we've been short staff, that just obviously that new huge project has just kind of sat there. We're not working on that yet, only on an as needed basis as we have issues or opportunities arise.
Randall, I think you raised your hand on that one before. Still interested?
Yes,
in
ma'am.
Okay, great.
I like governance.
Good.
You get to work with Dan. It's fun. And then Ron also sits on that committee, so we'll have to think about that too. I'm sad. I didn't realize you were.
That concludes our action items for today. We'll move into staff reports. Colin, are you still on the phone here today with us? Why don't you start us off with CIP?
Sure. One second, trying to get my camera going. Hey, how is everybody today? So, fairly quick update. Last month, I promised that I would bring to you a breakdown of previously finished projects and those underway, talk a little bit about the schedule and how we've performed financially. So this list shows basically all our federal grants since 2020, along with also the parking that recently completed, as well as runway 422, which was CDOT funded. So a little over $62 million of federal funds shown here. One thing I want to point out is that all of these projects have been completed on schedule or ahead of schedule, substantially completed. Sometimes there's little punch list items that linger, but as far as the FAA is concerned, these have all been completed on or ahead of schedule. And one thing I'm really proud of as well is that out of that $62 million, we are 0.02 as a comparison of what our spend was versus what was awarded. So it's an $11,000 difference between what was awarded and what we spent. So really, I think the important takeaway from this, and I'm also happy to drill into any of think really the big takeaway from this is that the FAA views us as a reliable partner. We talk a lot about making big asks from the FAA to advance this runway program, and the reason that they feel like they can always reach out to us with more money is that they know that we'll be there to deliver it. And we've worked really hard as a team to make sure that we're doing that and being communicative. Things do change. If you look at any of these line items, you'll see that we didn't get there by all of them being exactly 0.02. What we got there because some are under and some are over, but throughout that process, we're always communicating with our partners at the FAA. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you so you could report that back to the community as well, that we're being good stewards with this money. But any questions on this, we can drill in as much or as little as you'd like, but those are high-level points.
You know, Colin, that is a very significant accomplishment, I think, when you look at the scope of the millions of dollars. And I don't know if that's a factoid that could exist on our website, you know, progress at the airport, something of that nature, accomplishments under construction that have been done. I don't know. It just seems pretty substantial to me. I mean, if you look at commercial building construction, to say you came in at 0.02% on a commercial building project, that would be a huge win, right? So this speaks well for you and your team, as well as our staff. So thank you.
And Jeremy and his team as well. They're managing, you know, 50% of these at least in the field, and they're doing a good job of staying on top of it too. So
well, absolutely. Yeah, you guys have Mita Hunt done a wonderful job. I know Dan's had a hand in here a couple times on the East Apron, that type of thing. So collectively, there's been a number of parties with expertise in this area that have kept us on track. So thank you.
Yeah, Eva.
The last thing I want to point out too is, if ever we're going to come in this shape, we want it to be on these grants too, because these are the grants where we have 100% funding, and so we want to spend, you know, every dollar of them on this program because it saves us money. So, sorry, Colin.
Okay.
You've seen this before. Not a lot new here. I want to use this, though, to kind of point out next steps like we usually do. So as a reminder, in December, we came to the board with four grants, requests to give to the FAA, which have all been submitted. Those were for the first thing was the remainder of the pavement design that the airport board pre-funded last year. The next is Schedule 6, which we expect to be funded this spring, and then the third was some FAA NAVAIDS work, our reimbursable agreement work. So there's a fourth, and that fourth is most of the way down the page on that that top matrix, the pavement package one. They are still planning to fund that. However, we received a phone call from the FAA the week before last, late in the week, asking us what our temperature would be on bidding a larger package. So we called this package one, and that package one aligns with the amount of funding that they had programmed for 2024. They asked us if we would be willing to go ahead and consider bidding a larger package to align with the funding in not only 2024, but 2025 and 2026. So essentially what we would call package one, two, and three off at once. So that's exciting. What that means is that all that planning that we've been talking about pre-funding design to be ready to capture more money, I mean, that's the reason they would want to do this, is to create an opportunity where they can more easily give us money. It's really exciting, but I do want to hedge a little because there's a lot to work through. We need to build a plan. There are risks with that when you fund multiple years worth of project at once, as we saw with Schedule 6 when we did that award. And so we need to work internally with our team, the FAA, and also Dan, to build a plan and make sure that we're getting the best for the airport. But it's really exciting, though, that they trust us enough to bring an idea like that to us. I was excited about it when they offered up an idea similar for Schedule 6. And this is a bigger version than that. So we need to really be thoughtful about how we take advantage of this ID momentum, because it's I think it's a really big deal. I think it's everything we've been working towards to be able to do more large, impactful work at the same time and have a more continuity in the project as well. So anyway, that's the big update. There's no action needed right now. As we work through this in the coming months, my plan is to bring updates as they kind of pop up, and we can bring information forward and keep you updated as we work towards a late spring summer award. At that point, we'll also have real numbers, and we can have a real conversation about financial impacts and risk and all those sorts of things. And as always, we won't do any of this in a vacuum, but I did want to bring that up and talk about it just because it's really exciting. So, any questions?
It's a pretty unique opportunity to look at a larger scope of work to be done, because it does shorten that construction cycle in theory, for sure. And I appreciate you identifying ways to mitigate the risk associated with this as you work with the FAA on that, Colin, you and Dan as well.
Yes, sir. Cool.
Yeah, I think it drives a fine point on your previous slide about the rapport and trust you've been building with them, to have them come to us with mm-hmm. big ideas. You know, they don't think out of the box like this normally, and I say, yes, let's keep the momentum and relationship strong and going if there's a way to.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for your efforts on that, Colin. I know you've got a couple more things to share with us today.
I don't. That was it. That's all I got.
No pictures today?
No pictures. Okay. I'll find you some pictures and pop back on later.
Okay.
We just have that slide that we've been seeing for the last 4 years. That's all he wants.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of progress on this. Thank you for keeping it succinct, Colin, and keeping the directors and commissioners informed. All right. Very good. Angela.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Colin. Great. So I will give a quick activity update. We weren't able to cover that last meeting, so just to keep everyone in the loop. And then I have just a couple things to cover before Jennifer can cover finances. So flights were very full over the holidays. Volume was relatively stagnant compared to last year, but flights were very full. That's good. We're seeing capacity growth on the airlines. We want to see load factors stay strong. That's how we're going to keep that capacity and see them grow. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, flights versus volume. So we had lower capacity planes or fewer planes, but they were all full.
So number of flights, we had some were larger than last year, so overall capacity as measured by seats, it was relatively flat compared to the year before. We had slightly fewer airplanes, so the airplanes were actually larger on average. That's due to American pulling back a little bit some of their capacity. But the planes were full. And so what you see here in the light blue is us, and dark blue is the national average. So you can see how we compare to, are flights more or less full. So the graph on the left, that's the TSA passenger throughput per seat. That's our proxy for load factors, because that data flags the load factor data. But other people go through the screening checkpoint. That's why it's not perfect. The concession employees, things like people like that. But that relationship tends to stay flat, so it's a pretty good measure. And what you can see is that we maintained our gap from that national average, so we maintained very high load factors compared to the national average. So, and the national average is really high, too. I mean, when we contrast that to pre-pandemic, load factors are much higher than they were historically. Makes sense, right? You know, we know that airlines have fewer resources, so deploying them more fully. It was also a good weather year for the holidays. I mean, some holidays you get hard. We talked about that a little bit before the meeting, and snowstorms Colorado has faced around the holidays. We didn't have that this year, so it was really nice. So then when you move to the graph on the right, this is just straight volume. So that's just the number of passengers going through the checkpoint compared to 2019. And that's where you see that we're hovering right around pre-pandemic levels, and so is the national average. And so volume-wise, nothing remarkable there. In fact, you see us start to, you see around the holidays, we dip down to below pre-pandemic levels, but not by a lot. And the national average was below as well. So.
You need to forgive me, this is a little bit of a squirrel, but Randall's question just made me want to clarify. So we measure load factors through TSA's measurement. Do we do enplanements through the airlines' measurements?
So we just basically preview load factors, is how I'd describe it, by using that TSA data.
Yep.
And then once we get the airline data, the official airline data, you know, it's about a month to a month and a half lag to get all of it in.
Yes.
Then we know what planes actually flew and who actually flew, so we have true load factors.
Yes.
And so the TSA data isn't used in any official capacity.
More of a forecast.
It's more of a forecast. And when because we're using it, I mean, it's not really a forecast, but it's that early.
In real time.
It's the early info. And so just to be consistent from a data perspective, you look at the same data set because that way it's apples to apples.
Thank you. That's what I needed to clarify.
But we'll move on to actual activity.
No problem. I just needed to clarify that after his question. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And I know by here, too, usually our agenda is so meaty that usually by this part of the presentation, you know, I have glazed over eyes looking at me. So
we don't have time.
I appreciate the engagement. look, it's bringing me to life. so when we look into February, things are looking really good. So here you have, this is scheduled capacity by airline. The airline logos are down below. This is February of 2024 compared to February of 2019. So again, comparing to pre-pandemic. Because I think it's helpful to see the airline differences. And what you see in light blue is the this is their total domestic scheduled capacity in seats. To your point, Randall, it's seats, it's not flights. So the number of flights is absolutely smaller for most airlines, if not. It's at best the same number of flights, but for most it's going to be a smaller number of flights compared to the passenger growth because the airplanes are bigger. So what you see on American is, despite us being down a little bit compared to where we've been, with us only having two flights per day to Dallas, and then we have three to Phoenix, which you know has been on and off. We've been at two or three to Phoenix. We are above their average capacity growth compared to pre-pandemic levels. So you see we're at 12% growth compared to February 2019, whereas domestically they're only up 3%. So we talked a little bit about how their capacity reductions here in Grand Junction were part of a broader trend that we saw, and that was, I call them their surgical capacity reductions on specific days of the week. For example, Tuesdays and Saturdays can be later days, so smaller aircraft and or fewer flights, and you see that in a lot of markets, and then really focusing and investing in those areas that tend to make money during this weaker season, which is ski markets and beaches, really. Warm weather destinations. So so good news to report on American. You can see Delta is basically flat compared to pre-pandemic, but we know that those planes are deployed in a different way and on larger aircraft. Those passengers are on larger aircraft than before. Skipping ahead to United. United is up there. You know, you might think, oh, United's growing here, but they're growing everywhere. They're up 9% domestically. They're up 113% in Grand Junction. That's not a typo. So they have more than twice as many seats coming into our market this February than in February of 2019. And that is with those two larger aircraft they have, those main lines. And those are on their Airbus 319s, which is the smaller of the two that they fly in to, just to put things in perspective. So the 319 has 126 seats. They also fly a 737-800 that has 160 seats. We see that coming back in the schedule later this spring, but that's not what you see in February. So. Mm-hmm. Their growth is substantial. And then you can see other airlines got smaller in the pandemic, and especially in the winter schedules, they're going to be smaller, that being Alaska and JetBlue, and then the ultra low cost carriers, so Spirit, Frontier, Allegiant, Sun Country, all got bigger in the pandemic. Hawaiian is having a lot of issues in general. So, and Commissioners probably saw that Alaska has sought to purchase Hawaiian. Hawaiian is struggling really for two main reasons. Number one, Southwest has grown tremendously in the Hawaiian market. When they entered that market a little over 5 years ago, I think, and that's really hurt Hawaiian. And then number two, obviously, the disaster relief that's going on in Hawaii and mm-hmm. the effects of that are not positive for their business. So.
Are we going to be adding the Breeze logo over here?
Yeah, it's funny because Harris and I have talked about that. Breeze and Avello are so new that on this graph where you're showing growth versus pre-pandemic, it's infinity percent because it didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to figure out a way to
just
add that
on the stuff. Yeah, representation.
Yeah, because both those airlines were started after the pandemic. Well, they both filed actually in January of 2020, but they didn't start flying until after the pandemic. So
maybe a graph that just shows their capacity.
Yeah, we're looking at ways. That's a good idea, Tom. But yeah, you'll see the Breeze and Avello pop in.
Who's that airline on the far right?
Sun Country. So Sun Country, that is an ultra low cost carrier that is headquartered in Minneapolis, and they focus on most of their business is bringing people from the north down to the south in the winter to defrost, is what I joke. But they also do a lot of charters and things, and then they got very, very lucky, or were super smart. Right before the pandemic started, they contracted with Amazon to carry basically as a safety net for Amazon in case they needed extra cargo delivery, which we all know what happened in the pandemic. And so Sun Country really is coming out of the pandemic healthy because they had this incredible hedge. While everyone else here had their airplanes parked at airports, the Sun Country airplanes were as busy as ever. I think I spoke to this, but we expect two main lines to stay in the market for United. American is continuing to keep capacity to DFW at 2 through early spring, but we're hopeful that by late spring we'll see them adding in that third. We're starting to see them upgauge some of their very small upgauges, but upgauge some of their regional aircraft to slightly larger regional aircraft, which is a positive sign. Phoenix stays at 3 most days, which is really important because it's the only Western hub we have. And then Breeze, of course, they will be starting February 6th. So we'll have a celebration for that inaugural service and to welcome Breeze. Typically that first flight for an airline is an even bigger celebration than just a route. So if you guys want to mark your calendars, we'll be firming up invitations, but the celebration will likely be from about 1 p.m. to about 3 p.m. on February 6th. So the flight comes in at 1:30. We are not going to do a water salute. February 6th, it's still pretty cold, and you know we want this to go smoothly and successfully, so we're not going to spray the airplane, have them go to the ice bath. but we will have a celebration indoors, and then they actually do a really fun aircraft christening, little celebration out on the ramp, so everyone bring their coats. But we'll send more information. We do know the date of that, so the schedule. And then SFO, and that's going to John Wayne. SFO service will start May 22nd. So hopefully in time for you to take it.
Yes.
Randall?
That's the plan.
Yeah, that's really close to your kiddos. So.
That's the airport
What was that?
That's the airport we fly to.
Oh, really? Perfect.
And we're not training.
So. Yeah. That's perfect. So, and then last, Allegiant does have published their seasonal LAX service, so that'll be back as well. So as we kind of look ahead to this year, we expect to have year-round 3 times weekly service to the John Wayne Airport in the LA area, so that's just south of LA. And then we expect to have 2 times weekly service to LAX in the summer. So think about it, the summer we'll have 5 times weekly service to the LA area.
That's amazing.
Which is pretty exciting. Plus, the first time ever have nonstop service to SFO.
That's amazing.
Any questions about air service before we move on?
What's your sense of community marketing around the Breeze flight? How's that beginning to shape up?
So I know the Air Service Alliance, and we work alongside them. We have to be careful because obviously we don't market for airlines, but because some of the marketing is for the, is pointed to the airport. They like to show us what they're working on. That is really that deployment has started, and we expect it to be really ramping up. So I know there's substantial marketing efforts that will be seen. Has anyone seen any free ads
For our market?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I've seen it.
Okay, I haven't, but I'm not on Facebook.
It's great very often.
Did Air Service Alliance buy a billboard that shows Disneyland somewhere with the breeze logo?
We'll have to pay royalties to
Disneyland. The specifics, but I know that they've deployed a bunch of marketing.
Okay.
So I'm sorry I don't have all the
no, that's
specifics.
Fine. I was just hoping there's engagement around that, and it'll be interesting to see if commissioners and staff begin to see some of that, because I think it is pretty nice to promote within the community. So.
Well, and it's perfect timing for spring break trips.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, I mean, and that airport is the closest airport to Disneyland. And it's also much closer to the beach than LAX.
Yeah, right.
So,
it's almost walking.
You know, it's truly a 20-minute drive. I know you know because your bride's from there.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you. Didn't mean to add a little rabbit trail there, but no. I do think it's important for.
I have another rabbit trail. Do we know if the flight is sold out? I was just hoping
it's not sold out.
Okay.
And it's not, that's common. Like, it would be uncommon for an inaugural flight to be sold out. So typically, as the service gets closer, people start to actually see the airplanes and, you know people who've flown them. And so the momentum tends to build. And so I don't want anyone to feel like the marketing is late.
I think it's been reluctant to push it in the community, not knowing if it was sold out. And so.
Oh, it is not sold out.
I'm going to say a few things to some friends.
Yes. So, and kudos to Ben and his team, also Dylan, but Ben's team has really, Ben and his team with Sequit and others have been working really hard to help their launch be successful. IT, as you can imagine, is a really important part of airlines, and getting that set up at the airport is not easy, and small airlines have small teams, and they need strong partnerships. So thanks to Ben and his team.
Very good, thank you.
All right. So here, we tried to just recap briefly last year. Last year was such a big, incredible year for me personally and other members of our staff. We are trying to solve the staffing shortage one baby at a time. We added three babies to the world, Grand Junction staff did, for 30 employees. We're pretty proud of that. that one's not on there. But as I was typing this, I couldn't help but feel proud that we did this while also dealing with a lot in our personal lives, but for only the third time ever, we passed 500,000 passengers. So we saw almost 504,000 passengers come through the airport last year. And it was, again, the busiest first half of the year ever. We've never had that many passengers come through the airport in the first half. That's really important because, you know, our pattern when it comes to passenger traffic has been far more seasonal than it should be. Based on the total amount of traffic. So at our current traffic levels, we really felt, and the airlines felt, and the community proved that we can sustain that level of service year-round. As we start to see new routes added, I think we'll start to see some of that seasonality in the summer come back, because that's how you build new routes, is in your peak season. But for those established routes, they needed, those shoulders needed to be filled, and that's what we saw. So we're really proud of that. We had our busiest construction year, maybe ever, but certainly since the terminal was built in 1982. So we built $30 million in construction. Not like planned for, or, you know, I know we slice and dice things so many different ways, like how much money was awarded, how much is this? It's like we spent $30 million in total in construction work that happened. That is huge. That included the full rehabilitation of runway 422 with the largest grant award ever in CI Aeronautics history. It included expanding the public parking lot, which is really important when it comes to things we're proud of as an airport. We are really proud that we are an airport where our passengers and our customers don't have to wait for us to build things in order to have a positive experience. We want to stay in front of that forever. And we really appreciate that the board has that vision and really supports staff and our recommendations. We also not only maintain the schedule for the runway replacement program, but we really improved the budget outlook. As you'll recall, coming out of 2022, we had some huge bids, and the outlook when it kind of came to costs was really scary. I am so proud of Jeremy and Colin and their teams and the work they did to really hone in and capture incredible pricing. I mean, the pricing that we got on the work that was spit out was great. That's why you were willing to pre-fund Schedule 6 in anticipation of grant awards. So thank you for that. Obviously, we were really happy to end the year with a new airline announcement and two new routes that we'll welcome this year. We executed the new airline use and lease agreements. Gosh, that's probably the most boring one on the list, but certainly one of the most important. I mean, what that represents is sustainability financially for the airport. I can't emphasize that enough. And a sustainable method for us recovering our costs. We generated an extra $2 to $3 million in revenue when you look at cost savings the team was able to capture, plus those cost savings from being short staffed, which we're not excited about. But the extra revenue that we generated through our concessions at the new restaurant doing so well, the rate changes we saw in the parking lots, and then also with the investment income we were able to generate with our cash that's sitting there. So it's a lot of money for us. I mean, that's more than our net operating income was typically in years past. So we hosted the first air show since the pandemic, and it had the most attendees ever. So we're really proud of that. We did that in a year where we had our best FAA inspection since 2014. So those, I mean, that's where, like, there's certain things where you have to find that tension on the line to optimize, and that is a perfect example. And then we invested in our employees more than ever through wage increases, through more events, through bonuses, and really improved our employee engagement. We're excited to round the corner into this year with that outlook and with a staff that feels re-energized and stable, even if we still have a couple of key positions to fill. So, and then we met or exceeded most of our 2024 airport goals, and we briefly reviewed those last month. We'll post those in BoardVantage so commissioners can see, because, you know, we go through those objectives and have some details on there. But I just really wanted to take a moment to look back at the year before we get back to my favorite view, which is the windshield. To just say, wow, what an incredible year we had, and really to just recognize the board and all of the work you've been able to accomplish. Thank you so much for your support.
It's quite a nice recap. Commissioner, comments?
She's giving us more credit than we deserve.
Right.
And I think
we've kind of been in the wagon.
Yeah, I was like, we need to get back and just deflect that back to you all. You guys are an incredible team. You work hard. You make our job fun. And it's really exciting to see this list.
You know, there's some pieces of this that speak well to the connectivity and the marketing opportunities and the relationships you have with the airlines. There's one of these kind of is embedded in here that I'd be interested. The best FAA inspection, what does that mean to you, Dylan, to get a good, I mean, what does that look like to, in a relationship with them? Do they pull up all the asphalt and look underneath of it? You know, how deep do they get for you guys to say this was a really good one?
Well, I think the biggest thing is it's worth saying it depends on the inspector. They all have their things that they like to home in on. But I would say what it means to me is, I mean, it's indicative of the state of things at the airport. I mean, with namely our department, there's a lot that goes into that. It's a very bulky inspection. Usually Andrew can tell how much I'm frazzled by the end of the 2 days, because it's just pretty much all day and it's pretty nonstop, and it's going through everything. But I mean, it's a big deal to us, obviously, and it's a big deal to the team. And I don't know, it has some subjectivity to it for sure, but I would say it's definitely something we are happy to hang our cap on. And it came around the same time as the air show, to speak to what Angel was talking about. It was like the height of our attention on everything was just so heightened with that, and just a lot of things that were going on, and being in such a heavy, it's not even really a construction season, it's really just a construction decade at this point. We don't really have an off season. So a lot of our senses are heightened just constantly on that. So
I mean, really what it speaks to is the safety, though, right, of the airport.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the consumer experience.
And one thing I always love is when the FAA writes to us, the last thing they always write is, we appreciate your partnership and safety. And I think that's what it really safety, so.
And this year was also the, this past year was the triennial too, so I mean, throw that in there, this has just been a really busy.
And I think it's worth pointing out too, the help Hugh provided us too during the triennial and setting as our temporary BIO was really helpful. And I think it was a very successful triennial and FAA gave us good reviews on that as well in the inspection, so.
That was a big year.
Yeah, I just highlight that one, Dylan, because from a community perspective, it's coming to the airport, it's parking, it's getting on elevator stairs, going down an escalator that's not working.
That's working.
Moving through the TSA line fairly efficiently kind of a thing. It's, and then when you're boarding the aircraft, the air bridges work, all those kind of things that we don't normally know what goes behind it, you know? And the tower experience has improved, I think, for a lot of the GA guys. So well done on this. That's, I think that's, even though it's only five words in there, there's a lot behind that that came through. So hats off to your seasoned staff that make that possible. So,
thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, nice recap, Angel.
So kind of moving forward, more deeply into the year and what it meant. You've seen this graph before, but we hadn't shown it in a few months. This shows actual passenger traffic. So thanks for taking me up so nicely, Randall and Lindy. So this is actual enplanements as reported by the airlines. So you see the past 3 years and what we had budgeted. The budgeted is the hatch line, and then the actual for that hatch line is in black. So you can see we exceeded our budget by about 7%. We had set a goal to exceed the employment budget by 10%. That wasn't quite reached, but we're really happy with where we're at. And then when you look, they were only slightly below 2021, which was our busiest year ever. And that's, I mean, 2021, not only did we have Delta in the market, but that's when Avelo came into the market and Frontier came into the market. And so to get that close just feels, it feels really good, and it feels like we're settled, right? Like not only are things in a steady state, but we are, you know, we're back on that growth trajectory, which was our goal. So, yeah.
I mean, I think the other thing to note too is I-70 was closed a whole bunch that year because,
oh, that's true.
And so I think, to your point about steadiness, it makes sense.
Yeah, 2021 didn't represent normal, right? It represented so much more normal in our everyday lives than 2020. Like, but from an airport activity perspective, there's nothing normal about 2021. So,
thank you.
Let me make sure. We will have draft 2024 goals for discussion at our February meeting in anticipation of adoption at the March meeting. So, should commissioners have any thoughts, suggestions on areas you'd like us to focus on, feel free to just shoot us a note in BoardVantage or text me, or you can wait, and I'm someone who's much better at editing than creating, and so that's why we like to get those in front of you early, because it often just spurs thoughts on why not this, why not that, but we'll have that discussion next month. And then last, I wanted to give a very short and brief update on 27 and a quarter road. Before several of our commissioners were even on the board, we relocated 27 and a quarter road in anticipation of the new runway project. That's actually where the groundbreaking ceremony was held for those who came out in the middle of the dirt. We relocated 27 and a quarter road because obviously the new runway sits back and moves west compared to the existing. That project has been done for a long time, but the land transfer has proven to be more complicated than what we anticipated. We were able to finally, well, I say we, Dan found the official records that show that back in the 90s, the airport actually transferred the land ownership of 27 and a quarter road to the city. There's not the corresponding FAA approval and paperwork necessary to support that. And so, but because that transfer happened, it puts us on a path that makes things fairly straightforward. So fast forward to now, we are in the process of getting the FAA's approval, and really what they have to do is they have to release the land so that we don't have the grant assurances tied to it, because we can't sell our land, obviously. So they are in the process of releasing that. The first step is they have to post in the Federal Register to release that land. That happened a couple weeks ago. So they have to post that for 30 days, and then they will be releasing that land to us, at which point we will work with City Council and the Airport Board to basically swap. So right now, the city owns former 27 and a quarter road and that land. We own new, we'll just swap that, and we will finally be done with that project. So, sorry for the boring update, but I can't wait to stop talking about 27 and a quarter road. So.
Is the FAA given a preliminary green light to that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're excited to just get it all cleaned up and taken care of. And, you know, yeah, it should be fairly straightforward. But in case, because it is on the Federal Register, you know, we've had a couple of inquiries about it because, you know, for people who just notice those things or organizations. So want to make sure you know, in case anyone were to ask you, it is less exciting than it looks. We're just swapping land for the road.
So Dan, when you...
I just wanted to add... Oh, sorry, Tom.
Yeah, I was going to have you just weigh in there a little bit on the disclosure for the original transfer of the old 27 and a quarter and the FAA's reading on that, and then whatever else you wanted to cover.
Yeah, I just... I went off mute just to more directly answer your question about the FAA. In order for them to send the notice to the government printing office for it to be published in the Federal Register, the FAA basically has to signal that they intend to grant the release. So to your question, has the FAA given us a signal? Yes, absolutely. I've talked with them. I think it is clear that the release will issue. There's sort of a 30-day cooling off period. I mean, it's technically a comment period that doesn't really signal. I wouldn't take it as any indication that there's any uncertainty. We'll get the release after the 30 days ends in early February. In terms of the old record of what happened, you know, it is a bit of a mess, I would say. And so I think this is the most straightforward way to deal with it, to just get the release for everything and have the city vacate. The FAA is not generally interested in going back and looking at prior bad acts. So I think all of that will be just fine. But as Angela said, I think this is, albeit painful, but the most straightforward way to deal with the roadway going forward.
Sounds good. And it sounds like that grant to the city is their standard street width of whatever, 32 feet for the length of the road or something like that. Okay.
Yeah, there again, some of it already has been transferred. So for the new amount, they need the title in order to enjoy the immunity as well as to fund the cost of maintenance and repair of the road going forward. So it's a road for all intents and purposes. They just need to hold the title to the underlying dirt.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
So I make city council reports about my commissions.
Mm-hmm.
What's an approximate date for when this would be?
So I think March is when we'll see council taking action and our airport board taking action. That's as we kind of went through our timeline. That's what we anticipate. So,
great. Thank you.
Yeah. And kudos to John. He is stuck with us on this. He tried to find a solution that didn't require land transfer and, you know, just couldn't find one. But he's aware of this issue and has been trying to resolve it for a few years.
So who does maintain that road?
Well, right now, we do. I mean, maintain, it's a new road, so it doesn't
right.
require much maintenance. We have fence line on both sides of that road, and so we are out there, we were out there fixing fence a lot, but it's getting better. So
where does the BLM start? Where does their right-of-way start?
So their right-of-way is past the paved road. Does that make sense? So after the cattle...
North.
I don't know. Is it after the cattle grades that their
yeah,
land starts?
Like
I think it's even further than that, because we still
yards.
Have some dirt out there.
It's like another 300 yards. Our fence line continues on the west side of the road past that cattle guard, and then the BLM begins beyond that.
Because you have some mismatch of private properties out there. The city's got some for water retention.
But,
so,
but As for the road, they still are treating it like it's one of their roads. You know, early on, we met to talk about kind of roles and responsibilities, to make sure everything was covered, and we knew what it meant that we still, you know, had that road in our possession. And it was really more technical and legal than anything. Pragmatically, they don't remove snow out there and things. It's just not high enough priority, so.
Yeah, the existing road from H north to the new pavement would indicate that the city is not interested in doing a great deal to encourage traffic out that way. So, because it's almost four-wheel drive at this point. Parts of
it is obvious when you get to the new road.
Yeah. So.
Thank you.
All right, moving on. Jennifer.
Individual payments over $100,000, all of these had to do with the construction that's going on out there. Tom's seen them all come through. And then operating revenues, this is for year to date. We're up because of airline landing fees that we've seen throughout the year, fuel tax is up from last year as well and more than what we budgeted. Rental cars have still increased and parking has increased because of the parking rates and the higher employments that we've seen. As far as expenses, we are still understaffed, so compensation is low, contract services, repairs and maintenance are lower. But there was, that should narrow some from the spending that was allocated or done in December. Okay, and then mostly the variances here are going to be just from what we has gone on out there as far as our accounts receivable is the money that we've gotten back from the grants, or we've requested and haven't gotten back, and then accounts payable is going to be the biggest variation there is because of the capital projects. So it's basically just timing on what we've spent and what we've gotten back or requested at this point. Those were the biggest changes. Did y'all have any questions on any of that?
And the full set of financials with variance explanations is in your board packet. Mm-hmm. Kudos to Jennifer for getting things caught up and, you know, not just caught up, but actually tied back. So, you know, she took the time to go through a lot of activities. We often wait until audit season to go back. We don't hard close our financials every month as a public entity. So it's more of an update, and so she reconciled, and so those are all available now in board vantage. But
yeah,
job. Lots of green currently, I've noticed. It's good.
Yes.
Yeah, questions?
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. Any questions for on the finance side?
No.
Other business may come before the board. If not, we do have a short executive session to cover, so we'll need a motion to go into the executive session as it's drafted here in our agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I will make a motion to head into executive session for the purpose of considering personnel matters as authorized by CRS Section 24-6-402, Section 4F, specifically including the Executive Director's annual review and employment contract.
A motion, is there a second?
Second.
Hearing, we have a motion, a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you, Thaddeus. Appreciate that. Okay, we'll move into executive session. Ron, will you be doing the recording?